So, now we're talking about Rav Levi Yitzchak Bendel, Zatzal. By the way, this week is the outside of Rav Rosenfeld, right? What day is it? This week?
No, sure. I hear they're working on a biography of him.
Yeah, I wish to. In Hebrew or English?
In English. Then we'll be in Hebrew eventually.
Zat Hashem, I really would like to read. I just read a story about Rav Rosenfeld. His son said the story. His son Shlita. His son said that the day before his bar mitzvah, or the day before his bar mitzvah, his father told him he ordered the cab. And he said, "Come, we're going somewhere." And he drove to 770, a Chabad World Center, and he walks in to the waiting room where the Rebbe's waiting room is, and the maskil, the guy in charge, the maskil who tells who goes in, who goes out, stands up and says, "Rav Rosenfeld, I'm sending everyone home right now, and I'll tell the Rebbe that you're here." The Baruch Rebbe, not the little
Svi, Rebbe Svi.
Yeah, he took his son with him. That's the Rebbe. The Baruch Rebbe told the maskil, "Listen, when Rav Rosenfeld comes, everyone goes home. And I finished the Zeh, so they waited a few minutes. I don't want him to wait for any second. The time is too precious." It's the Lubavitch Rebbe. I'm talking about a kid over here. It's not the time of Rav either. It's the Lubavitch Rebbe. He's huge. And he brings him, he walks to him with his son. And he sits there. And I wasn't for the, tells the Lubavitch Rebbe, "It's Bar Mitzvah soon." So the Lubavitch Rebbe asks him, "What's your name?" And he writes his name. And he said, "Your father taught you a drasha for the bar mitzvah?" "Yeah." "So say it." So Rav Rosenfeld said, "It's not for the Rebbe. Chaval al-Azman, for the Rebbe." He said, "No, I want to hear from him. Whatever, he pressured the..." Yeah. So he started saying, 15 minutes he started the Rebbe. The Rebbe was sitting, he said, 15 minutes with his face like this. There was nothing moving in his face. Full concentration in every word that came out of his mouth. And then his father said, "Okay, go outside." And his father stayed for... He asked his father, "How long are we going to wait? I'll wait for you." He says, "It could be an hour, it could be longer." And then after like an hour and a half or something, his father comes out completely drenched. And they take a taxi. And on the way, he asked his father, "Well, Breslev, what do you got to do with Chabad?" So he told him, "Yeah, I have a good kasha with the Rosh Rebbe. We learn every once in a while, and this." And he also, I also talked to him about personal things. "Yeah, what's the personal things that Rav Rosenfeld? Personal thing, what, the family things?" So he asked his father, "What do you mean personal things?" "For example, I once told the Baruch Rebbe that I want to print over Rabbeinu's firm, Rabbi Nachman's firm." That's his personal things. So the Baruch Rebbe said, "Yes, I want to sponsor everything you print." The Baruch Rebbe said this. "I want to sponsor over Rabbeinu's firm." So Rav Rosenfeld said, didn't agree to take money from Baruch Rebbe, and years later, they told him from the Baruch, he told Rav Rosenfeld's son, you know that the Baruch Rebbe afterwards gave the maskil over there, the guy in charge, a big amount of money. He said, "When Rav Rosenfeld comes to ask for printing books, I don't want him to have to wait for anything. So this money is set aside for the Breslov books." Baruch Rebbe. And then after Rav Rosenfeld was nifter, so his son asked the mother, "Do you know he had a keshe with the Baruch Rebbe?" He said, "No." Because he told him to keep a secret also. So he told him the story and he told him to keep a secret. He said, "No, he didn't know." So I just knew that every so often he used to go out to learn with someone for a few hours. He used to go learn with the Baruch Rebbe for a few hours. You understand, Rav Rosenfeld was such a pashut yid. I don't know almost anything about him. I just know he was so pashut, he was so huge. He was a goyin and god of adol, pshuta, but with a cover. Simplicity. Talking with the lowest people, bringing the boys from basketball into the Zeh. Rav Gedalia Flair. Rav Maimon is a... It's Rav Rosenfeld is a... fruit. Son-in-law is one thing, but he's a student of Kremel. And they're huge, so just imagine where their father-in-law was. Anak Shabanakim. I didn't have this chus to know him. I wasn't around yet. Maybe in the previous guild. I don't know. He died 36 years ago. It was nifter. big tzaddik.
But Lubavitcher Rebbe passed away in 94, which is 20 years ago.
Yeah. So, he was sick, Rav Rosenfeld. So, anyways, Rav Levi Yitzchak, in the beginning of his 18th year, he was putting all of his effort into the Torah and the yeshiva in Makov. And he took as a chavusa, big bachur chashuv, his name was Rav Shimon Yosef Wiesenfeld. So, one day something happened in yeshiva which put a lot of impression, very strong impression in the yeshiva, and especially of Levi Yitzchak's Bendel's life. And that began as getting close to Breslev. This is the story. The beginning of Tafresh Ayin Dalet, 1914, right before the First World War, joined the yeshiva a young bachur, 16-year-old, named Rabbi Yitzchak Karkovsky from the city Lodz in Poland. Big city Lodz. Everyone later on, he was called Rabbi Yitzchak Otvatsker. Why? Because he had very bad lungs. He used to spend a lot of time in Otvotsk, a certain town that was good for their lungs. He was young, he was only 16-year-old relative to other Bochum, who were 17, 18, but he was smarter than everyone. And he knew, in his short life, he was 16-year-old, he knew Shas, he knew Poiskim, he knew everything. The teachers of the yeshiva had nothing to do with him, he knew more than them. He was huge. Yeah, even on the Rosh Hashiva was scared of him and his learning. Yeah, he was so sharp. He'd give a shir, and the Rosh Hashiva will give a shir, and this boy will snap his old shir in one question. The Taisis there don't agree with you. That he said that the Rosh Hashiva will start giving a shir, and before the Rosh Hashiva, he just started that. This Bachar knew already the end of the shir. He knew everything. It was a very, very high shir. It's not like a shir I give. And also, Rabbi Yitzchak, another thing was very. And the Tilda Rashi, by the way, said that I have nothing to. I have no chidushin for him. He knows everything. He knows more than me. I don't know what to say. This Rabbi Yitzchak also, he had a beautiful. He looked beautifully. He was a very, very handsome person. Handsome, you say about a man, right? He's handsome. He was the mamash. He had a glowing face, a big fire, like shining, very, very handsome boy. Also very sharp. Also, he spoke very eloquent. He was a very special person. Why was he so beautiful? This is a story that Rabbi Levi Yitzchak heard from a first source. Listen to this. You couldn't imagine the story. I read this book twice straight. Once I just, I took this book and I couldn't leave it. Like the Shmuel's book, I read it also twice straight.
They had that book in English, which I had. Yeah. Somebody took it and bring it back. So.
Yeah, I know.
There's only 25 shekels.
Okay, that's we're gonna learn together. We're going to read the stories together. Yeah, it's much amazing. So that was right before the First World War, and many of the parents came and took their children home. So if there's a war, they want their children to be with them, because then they'll be scattered. Who knows where they're going to find them? So his father, the father of Rabbi Yitzchak, also came, and people looked at the father, and they were shocked. The son was tall, and beautiful, and handsome, very good-looking boy. And the father, you never imagine he's the father. Short, ugly, dark skin. Everyone was shocked. Very dark, not like dark regular dark, very dark skin. So they asked the mitzvah, "What's your father? How could that be? Because you're from a different father." He's like, "Real father? What's going on?" So he said, "I'll tell you, this is a story of many, many generations ago. A story of Bala Levushim, or Mordechai Bala Levushim, wrote many sforim. It's called Levush Machus, Levush Tcheles, many sforim, which is called Levush something, Levush. Ken? So there's a story that happened with him. His name was Mordechai Yafte. Because he was very, very, he was a very good looking man also. Once he had a very hard nisayon, I guess, with one of the goyim over there. He wanted to marry his daughter or something. He doesn't say the whole thing. And he jumped immediately. He was on a wagon somewhere. He jumped from the wagon. In those days, there was no pipes for the sewer. The sewer was on the side of the road. There was holes, like ditches. And he jumped into the sewer, and he got all dirty, you know, this, everything. But he was saved. He saved his soul. He got dirty, but he saved his soul from this problem. Yeah. And because of that tzchus that he had, he says, if Shammayim gave him the tzchus to write 10 books that are called Levush, for the clothing that he got dirty. But for that time, when he jumped, he jumped into Hashem, that the 10 generations after him, they all will be ugly. So the whole world, ugly in the air externally, right? So the whole world and the goyim won't have this nisayon with them, with the goyim. And the 10th generation was my father, the boy said. I'm the 11th. So I don't have the curse anymore. And they say that he used to look like his grandfather, his great-great-great-great-grandfather, 10 generations back. Okay, I don't know who could say that's true, but that's what they say. Anyways, so he's the boy we'll see tomorrow that got many people close to blessing. But in the meantime, we know why it was beautiful and his father was.
What's his name?
His name is Rav, his name is Yitzchak Otvetzker. Otvetzker, something like that, yeah. Shkoel.